Hi, it's Donna. I'm back on the line, so we are being recorded.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much, Donna. So
sure.
Let's do a restart here. So this telecom is on the topic of the personal touch, using personal marketing to boost Get Clients Now enrollment. And I'd like to kick off our topic by talking about the really crucial role of personal contact in 21st century marketing. This is important for all of us as Get Clients Now facilitators to keep in mind, not only for filling our own Get Clients Now programs or for pursuing opportunities for in-house programs, but also for leading Get Clients Now. You know, the program provides our participants with many, many suggestions for how to make personal contact with prospective clients and referral sources, but despite that, many of our participants really try to skew their program activities in the direction of making all of their contacts online and by broadcast email. But this is really a mistake. It's a mistake for them, and it's a mistake for you. And to see why, I don't think you need to look any further than your own experience. Consider how much more impactful it is for you when you're a customer to have a phone conversation than it is to read somebody's social media post, or to receive a personal note that's sent to you alone instead of a broadcast email that's sent to hundreds or thousands of other people, or to meet somebody at an event or for coffee instead of listening to them on a webinar. Personal contact is two-way communication. It gives you an opportunity to converse, to connect human to human, to not just broadcast or solicit, but to truly engage with other people. At a time when so many of us are overwhelmed with communications, I think the ones that stand out are the ones where we have a human connection with the other person. So there are many ways that we can make personal human-to-human contact. We can do it by phone. We can do it in person. We can do it by postal mail, by email. And, yes, we can even do it with social media. And we're going to be talking about a variety of those approaches today, starting with talking about making use of the telephone. So, Donna, can you tell us some of your thoughts about that topic?
Sure. And, in fact, I want to start by sharing that when you first asked me to talk about, you know, when and why to pick up the phone, the first thing that came up for me was, I can't believe that after all these years, I can still be very resistant to making calls. But the difference is that now I know that picking up the phone really is one of the most effective ways to develop positive relationships with my prospects, my referral partners, my past clients, and so I do it in spite of the resistance. And, you know, I was glad to hear you mention that thing about as Get Clients Now facilitators, really noticing sometimes in our clients' plans, when I see that everything is done from behind the computer, I usually do question that, because I think there really is a tendency to not pick up the phone, and yet sometimes talking on the phone is the very best way to communicate. You know, email is great for exchanging information quickly, but it really isn't always the most effective way to conduct business. If you simply send off an email to a prospect you've never spoken with or met, they won't have any experience of you. They won't get to hear how smart you are, or how funny you are, or how well you listen, or what good questions you ask. None of that's going to come through if all you do is reply to an email message. Talking on the phone allows you to gather more information than they might volunteer, and you'll also have a chance to find out if what they're wanting is what you have to offer, or are they even a good fit for you? Is this somebody you want to work with? So there's lots of things that can take place on the phone that aren't going to happen if it's just emailing. Plus, I think using the phone is often a lot faster, and you can cut down on confusion. we think the email is quick, but what happens, you know, first of all, in email, the conversation can only go one way at a time. So if your reply, you know, somebody emails you, then you email them back, then they email you back with more questions, and you mail them, you know, and this can just go on forever. So just pick up the phone. Calling enables you to answer their questions immediately, and it also helps you to avoid misunderstandings. So, you know, whenever you have that tendency to shoot off an email, you might want to think twice. You know, the question of when to pick up the phone, I think you pick up the phone whenever you think of it, because we just depend too much on email and social media, and picking up the phone can really help you stand out. And if you're wondering when, you know, what kinds of things, well, you're all Get Clients Now facilitators here. I recommend taking a look at the main course actions. If you take a look at your main course actions, you will notice that a number of them are either directly about picking up the phone or they imply picking up the phone. For me, one of the big examples, and this comes up in class all the time, is people often pick an action like have lunch or coffee with a colleague. And it doesn't occur to them that they are going to need to pick up the phone and start calling people. And if you're going to have lunch or coffee with a colleague once a week, you may need to call 10 people just to schedule 4 lunches or coffees. So I think there are all kinds of things you can do to pick up the phone. Invite people to something. For example, I have a meetup group, a social media meetup group, and I realized that I do free lunch and learns, and that a lot of people aren't in my meetup group who might be interested in attending. And so it finally dawned on me that, you know, I need to start calling these people and saying, hey, I wanted to let you know about this event. So call people to personally invite them to something you're hosting, to something you're attending, to something you're offering. It's really, there's tons and tons of things, reasons to pick up the phone and call people. One of the things I try to be in the habit of doing is if I'm on the computer so much that if I get an email, just like I was saying earlier, sometimes I start to write the reply, and then I just go, no, I'm going to pick up the phone and just get this handled instead of the back and forth. So whenever you think of it, pick up the phone. I think that's all I have to say about that. So does anyone have any questions or comments about this?
Donna, it's William from Vancouver Island. I have one question.
Sure.
One of the things that I'm fairly new in delivering the Get Clients Now for my private company, we delivered it for consulting companies that I worked for. And I just delivered one for my private company on the weekend. But I want to start approaching other organizations to be delivering the program. Now, what I'm wondering is, I'm not afraid to pick up the phone. I have no problem with that. But I'm wondering if it's maybe a better idea to send like a short email proposal and say in the email, I'll be calling you in a couple days to follow up on this, just so that when I call, they're not sort of off guard and sort of trying to figure out who I am rather than listen to what I'm saying.
You know,
Do you think that's a good idea? I'm not saying, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think that's a great question. And I think that there's all kinds of ways to do it. You know, there are a lot of people who like to do the call mail call. Then there are the people who like to do the mail call mail, you know. So I don't know if there's a best way to do that. If they're local, sometimes, depending on the kind of company, even stopping in and picking up a card and finding out who the best contact is. Or I'm not sure I have a good answer. I might see what CJ has to say on that one. Is there a recommended way to do that?
I think it depends a lot on personal style. The important part is definitely to couple call with male and not to rely on male alone, particularly when you're approaching someone colder for the first time. And that's the place where it's so easy for us and the people that we're coaching to fall down, because it's so much safer to just send the mail. It's scary to get on the phone.
Yeah.
I think the most effective is call, mail, call. And one of the ways of dealing with call, mail, call that gets around the case of, well, you know, what if I get them and they don't know who I am and that's kind of awkward, is call off hours. So literally expect that the first call is going to be a voicemail. Prepare yourself for a voicemail and call in the evening or even on the weekend and leave a message saying, this is who I am, this is why I'm calling, and I'm sending you this thing, please look for it. And then have your next call be the one that is the one where you're actually going to try and reach them in person. And the reason I think that works is because so you're sending somebody an email or a piece of postal mail, they don't have anything to call their attention to it in the deluge of stuff they're getting all the time, whereas your pre-call alerts them to that. Now they've heard your voice. They know you're going to be calling again because you've told them that. They're more likely to actually look for that email or that piece of postal mail and do something with it, I think, than if you don't make the pre-call. If you're really good on the phone, of course, and you're comfortable in that way, absolutely make that first call during business hours and try and engage them in conversation before they've even seen anything in writing. But a lot of us aren't. A lot of us are uncomfortable, and I think that calling after hours thing can work very well, even if you're not comfortable with that.
Okay, that's a good idea. Thanks, CJ.
Yeah.
Great. Well, if there aren't other questions, CJ, are you ready to tell us about our next topic?
Yeah, let's move on to the next topic, which is using email and postal mail for those personal touches. And for a bit of perspective about using postal mail and personal email, when I first started marketing Get Clients Now in 1995, using the Internet wasn't an option. So very few people were making regular use of email at that time. Almost nobody had a website. But, you know, despite the lack of those, what we now think of as crucial marketing tools, I managed to fill a Get Clients Now program almost every month of the year. So I did that in four ways. I talked about Get Clients Now at local speaking engagements, and I passed out flyers about it. I did the same thing at local networking events when I got a chance to stand up and introduce myself. I talked about it. If there was a place in the room for flyers to be put, I put them there. I kept a list of people who were interested in Get Clients Now, and I called them on the phone to remind them about upcoming programs or to follow up on the possibility of an in-house program. And I contacted people by postal mail and email. So every one of those techniques still works right now today. It's just as valid as it was in the pre-internet days. So with postal mail, what I did for group programs was I created a flyer for each program, and I would enclose that flyer in the print edition of my monthly newsletter. And I would also send the flyers out separately to people who I knew were interested, regardless of whether or not they were already receiving the newsletter. So it didn't matter to me if I was hitting them twice. Hitting them twice is good, right? And I would write a brief personal note on the outside of each one of those flyers. Marcia, I know you were interested in my Get Clients Now program. The next session starts on November 2nd, and I hope you can make it. And writing those notes on the outside of the flyers is something that I would do while watching TV, riding the bus, listening to music, right? So in downtime, I'd just sit there and I'd write those notes. Notice how much more impactful that is than simply putting an anonymous flyer in the mail with a stamp on it, right? Now they know that you personally were thinking of them and you wanted them to come and you remembered they were interested. So for developing interest in following up on in-house programs, I would use postal mail quite a bit. I would send an introduction letter followed by a phone call. I'd send a detailed proposal followed by a phone call, and I'd also send information to people who were prospects for in-house programs about either upcoming public group programs or about local speaking gigs that I had, again, with that personal note. Jack, if you'd like to get a taste of how the Get Clients Now program could work for your organization, please consider attending this program as my guest. So, again, those ways of using postal mail, you can still use postal mail for that, and most of them translate directly to email. So when you have somebody who's actually on your email list, you can send that broadcast communication, your email newsletter or your blog posts, with an announcement of your group program included. If it's somebody who's a prospect for in-house programs, you can, if you've got their email, you can send them a reminder that you offer in-house programs along with that newsletter or that blog post. So that's one of the first things we usually think of to fill programs. But there's one important aspect that I think we need to take note of. You can't contact everybody by broadcast email. Maybe there are people who are great prospects for your programs, but they've never signed up for your email list. Maybe you don't even know their email address. Well, you can still contact those people by postal mail. And if you have their email address but they haven't signed up for any of your lists, you can still send them a personal note, even though they're not on your list. It's absolutely okay to send that, hey, Mary, we were talking about my Get Clients Now program. Here's the info on the next one, right? Absolutely acceptable to do that with somebody who you already know, you know they're interested, they simply haven't subscribed to be on your email list. It's a personal note. It's also fine to send a personally addressed pitch letter by email to an in-house program prospect who isn't a list subscriber. So what you don't want to do ever, 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 no reason whatsoever to ever do this at all is subscribe people to a broadcast email list if they have not given you their explicit permission to be there. But you can still contact those people by email and follow up with them by email if they're personal contacts. And one other thing you can do with email, and I do this a lot, is to forward people articles, event announcements, other items that you think will interest them. So if you're doing this, you're not pitching your program at all. You're just mentioning it in your email signature. But let's say you send them an article on marketing and it's got a note included saying, Jane, I remember you were interested in this topic when we talked and I thought you would find this helpful. That can be an extremely powerful personal touch technique that produces very positive results in getting prospects to know, like, and trust you. You don't always have to say, here comes my program, sign up. You can simply say, hi, remember me? We talked about thus and so. Here's some info that might be helpful to you. And, oh, by the way, down here in my email signature, here's the info on my next program. That gentle, educational, supportive kind of follow-up is the kind that so many people really welcome and gets them to start thinking of you as being a resource, not somebody who's just trying to sell them something all the time. So other ideas, experiences any of you have had with this way of following up with people using personal email, postal email? Any questions about the mail follow-up idea, making it a personal touch?
CJ, sorry, this is William again from Vancouver Island. One of the things that I've been seriously thinking about doing is in any of the messages that I send out, maybe giving them a little bit of information about the program. Like, I know that I'm sort of torn between giving too much, but at the same time not giving so much that you know, they are not interested. I guess my question is, do you have a personal belief on how much is too much information?
I think a great way of dealing with that is going off on a bit of a tangent on any one aspect of the program. So let's say, for example, what you want to do is follow up with somebody over time that you want them to take your program or you want them to bring you in-house to do a program, and you don't think they're really sold on it yet. So you can take any aspect of the program, and if we were to look at this as a piece of music, you could perform a riff on any one piece, right? So you could say, all right, accountability, that's a big deal. That's a big aspect of this program that people don't necessarily see the value of. I think I'm going to communicate with this person about accountability. And you could write something yourself, a paragraph or two on the value of accountability, or you could just simply quote directly out of the Get Clients Now book, or you could quote one of my articles where I've said something useful about that. You don't necessarily have to compose something new. And say, this is all about accountability, something that might help you think about it, right? Another thing that you could do is talk about, for example, the universal marketing cycle and simply the value of figuring out where you're stuck. Maybe tell a story about one of your clients or participants and the value to them of finding out where they were stuck. So each one of those elements, I think, can be used as a jumping-off place for a series of communications without having to give them the entire program step by step. Does that make sense?
It does. And I was thinking, would you be opposed to, I was thinking of doing that snippets of the book basically in blogs on my website?
As long as they're credited, like just, that's absolutely fine.
Okay. Yeah, that's totally fine. Like, I would, just to spark interest, would discuss a certain area and then maybe in another blog discuss another area. But, no, I would totally accredit all information to, you know.
It'd be great to just quote a paragraph from the book, for example, and then give your own thoughts on it or tell a story about it. That'd be a great use.
Okay.
Yeah, and very effective as a blog post, I think.
Okay, thank you.
Good. So let's move to a different kind of personal touch topic, and I'm going to turn the floor over to Donna.
Okay. Well, I'm going to talk about networking, both in person, and then I'll also talk about online networking via social media. So I always like to start with why network. Most people network to grow their business. If you take a look at your marketing strategies in the Get Clients Now book, you'll notice that networking is one of the most effective marketing strategies you can use to market your services and grow your business. It's also, I think, one of the most cost-effective strategies you can use. And while it again, you know, it's easy, it's convenient to do your networking online. Don't underestimate the importance of maintaining your offline in-person presence as well. And so, you know, there are a number of different kinds of places where you can go to network, and I'm just going to very quickly go over what I consider the five categories or types of groups where you can go to grow your network. You know, the first is what I call business networking groups. And there's a wide variety of groups that fall into this category. And I'm thinking of the types of groups that meet monthly. They're for the primary purpose of business networking, and they include a mix of industries. So in other words, you know, you could have three or four realtors or mortgage brokers or coaches or massage therapists. But those are the kinds of groups. They might meet for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. They might have a format. They might be formal or informal, no format. But I call those business networking groups. The second is leads groups. And without going into a big, long explanation of leads groups, these groups tend to meet weekly. They require membership, and they're usually what I would call exclusive, allowing only one person from each industry. And so typically when people think about networking, they think about those first two, business networking groups and leads groups. But the third type of group is professional associations or industry-specific groups. these are the groups that are organized, you know, around an industry or a profession, and you'll find an organization for just about any group of people, any industry, any profession you can think of. And I would recommend joining your own professional organization so you can meet colleagues, competitors, and stay current with your industry. But to widen your network, you can visit or join the groups that your prospects, your clients, or your referral partners belong to. So, for example, I had a client who was an image consultant, and she joined the Women's Bar Association. She got involved, served on committees. Why would she do that? Because the women attorneys were her clients. They had the money to afford her service, and they were too busy to go shopping for clothes on their own. So it's perfectly acceptable to join a professional organization that's of a, you know, where you'll find your prospects and your clients. The fourth group is what I call community service groups. You might notice one of the actions in the Get Clients Now menu is Volunteer Weekly. So these are the kinds of places where you might consider volunteering. There are public ones, private ones, and the main purpose is providing service to others. You've got charitable or fundraising groups, civic, community, political, religious. These groups allow you to meet like-minded people and contribute. And so while these groups may not be for the primary purpose of business networking, you know, these are people who are going to get to know you, like you, trust you. You're going to be able to form connections with them. And the last group, I just gave the name special interest groups, and I think of these as the fun groups. And this is a great way to meet like-minded people. Whatever your interest is, especially with meetup.com, these days it's pretty easy to find a group you can join, whether it's a book club, a hiking club. We've got tons of, when I look at meetup.com, there are groups that meet to go hear music or to go out to dinner. You can also, you know, network at your dance class, yoga class, you can join a volleyball league, whatever it is, getting to know people in a social setting, you can establish relationships which can lead to business. I used to have a client who was a mortgage broker, and she did a lot of her business on the chairlift. You know, you're sitting with somebody for an extended period of time, and be sure and have those business cards in your pocket. So those are what I consider the five different kinds of organizations or groups or categories for networking. So how do you find places? You know, to know where to go, I think first you need to know who do you want to meet. You know, who do you want to build relationships with? This might be your target market, might be your customers, your clients, it could be colleagues, it could be competitors, it could be people from a specific industry or profession. But once you know who, it's much easier to know where you could go to meet those people. Are you going to go to their trade association or a networking event? You could go to a seminar.
Muted.
Thank you.
Okay, I just muted everybody on the call except you and me, Donna.
Okay, so you can hear me. Yes? CJ, can you hear me?
Unmuted.
Am I unmuted, CJ?
Because, Donna, I don't think you're on the moderator pin.
Okay. No, I didn't have that to call in, I guess. But you can. Okay.
We're okay now.
All right. So let's see. Finding places, actually, I can just, if you have to do that again, I just star 6 to unmute myself. So finding places to network is as easy as turning on your computer, going to your favorite search engine, typing in the words networking events, your city, business networking events, your city. CJ, if you want to mute the line, we can see if I can star 6 and unmute myself.
I don't think you can if I star 5 to mute everybody.
I think you can.
Is anybody calling on a cell phone right now? If you are, it sounds to me like it is tactile noise on a cell phone from wind or from the mic being touched. So
yeah.
If that is you, there it goes. If that is you, please mute yourself.
Yeah, I've got the instructions in front of me. If you star 5 once, you'll mute the audience, but I can unmute with star 6 if you want to try that.
Okay, let's try it.
Okay.
Muted. Unmuted.
Okay,
can you hear me?
Donna. Yep.
All right.
Excellent.
Okay.
Good work.
So let's see, where was I? When looking for events, really try for a mix of activities. You know, go to traditional business networking events, and you also might want to go to social events. Just remember that networking is about connecting with people, and you can do it anywhere, anytime. And I'm going to quickly talk about some of the ways to network. Just remember, it's about building relationships. That requires good social skills such as listening, asking questions, making comments, sharing information about yourself, and engaging people in a way that creates a real connection. What it's not is simply communicating who you are and what you do. So when you go to events, I always like to set an intention before I go to an event. You know, my intention might be just to talk with 3 people I don't know, or maybe reconnect with somebody I'm out of touch with, or introduce people to each other. That way, I have something to remind myself when I get there. When you go to events, circulate the room, meet and talk to people. Don't wait for people to approach you. You really need to get comfortable initiating conversations. And to help with that, you might want to plan and prepare to talk to people. Although you always want to be, you know, we all want to sound spontaneous, but it really helps to know in advance some things that you can say, either in response to common questions or to generate conversations, you know. So you notice that CJ got the conversation going today by talking about the Giants. I mean, sometimes it could be something that everybody is interested in. Sometimes at networking events, it's as easy as saying, have you ever been to this event before? Or have you, you know, do you belong to this group? Preparing a list will really help. And don't forget to bring your own prepared introduction, because you know people are going to ask you what you do. And one of the things I recommend is, besides having your introduction, really prepare to be able to describe who you are targeting in your business. Because that's almost more important. It's going to be much easier for people to help identify prospects or referral partners for you if they know who you want to meet. And then basically it's just listen and let people talk. And a great thing to be able to do is solve people's problems. And while you personally may think that you have the solution, such as the Get Clients Now program, it's also a good idea to make referrals. So if you're listening to somebody's talk about something and you can make a referral, you have a way to help. I think it's just good to be known as a great resource. And the other, before I move on, let's see, I just had a couple things I wanted, looking at my notes here. One thing I find really beneficial is to schedule calls and meetings in the moment. Bring your calendar with you if you're going to networking events, so that if you meet somebody that you want to have coffee with or follow up with, instead of doing endless email and endless voicemail and playing tag, you can just get your calendar out, schedule it right there and then in the moment. I also recommend showing up early and staying late. And last but not least, don't go to a networking event expecting to close a deal. The event is simply the introduction. It's up to you to follow up and create the relationship. It's not about getting someone to hire you or buy your product or service. That might happen, but it's about starting a relationship. So any questions about in-person networking? Well, in that case, I'm going to move on because I'm watching the time here, and I'll try to be quick about building personal relationships using social media. So instead of calling it social media, I would guess that most of you are using what I would call social media tools that are social networking tools. So LinkedIn, Facebook, Google Plus, and I'd throw Twitter into this category, are what I would call social networking tools. So you're using them to do exactly what you do offline, network, build relationships. It's exactly the same. Keep in mind, few people join an online social network because they want to be sold something. Again, it's about building relationships, sharing resources, ideas, information, and I forgot to mention this about in-person networking, but it's true for both, doing it consistently. So one of the best ways to do this is having personal contact and conversations. And there are ways to have conversations on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Google+. One of the easiest ways to do this is in how you post what I'll call a status update. And I actually just had this experience last night, and so this is what I really recommend doing. If you post a status update, you could ask a question, but you could also, in whatever it is that you're posting, you could include what I'll call a call to action. Sometimes we have to tell people what it is we want them to do. So if you want people to comment, tell them to comment. You know, it could be as simple as saying, please share your thoughts here. Do you agree or disagree? Why? Asking a question, telling people what you want to do to get the conversation going. But where I find some people fail is, I recently was looking at a client's Facebook page, and she had a post she made that had 20 comments, and I didn't see any replies. So an easy way to have a conversation is to reply to the comments. In fact, you should make a point of replying to every single comment. So if you make a post, reply to all the comments. And so I had this happen last night where I saw something on a Facebook page. I made a comment. The person immediately responded. How do I know they responded? The other thing you can do when you're replying to comments, and you're doing this publicly, is you tag the person or live link to their name so they'll know. Two people I spoke with told me what they were doing with comments was they were replying in private. Well, when you reply publicly, what that does is everybody looking there sees that you reply to people, and it makes them more likely to leave a comment knowing that you're going to get back to them or respond to them, and it just gets a whole big conversation going. So, and the same is true also for blog posts. If you're blogging and people start leaving comments, you really want to take the time to go in and respond to each and every one. I mean, if you were at an event, if you were talking to somebody in person and you said something and they said something back, you wouldn't ignore them and walk off. So don't do that online. You know, it really would make a big difference. The other thing, you know, people are always surprised when I say, oh, yeah, I met them on Twitter, or I met them on Facebook, or, you know, I meet people on social media. Recently, I was following somebody on Twitter, and I don't even think they were following me back, and I saw some posts they made, and it said something about the Eisenhower Tunnel, which is outside of Denver, and I didn't know whether or not they lived in Colorado or traveling through Colorado, but what I did was I replied and said, oh, are you in Colorado? And they tweeted back, and it turned out they were in Denver, and we started a conversation, and then actually I found them on Facebook, so I wasn't limited to 140 characters. And because I knew something about her from her profile, I messaged her with some information about some upcoming events. Some were mine, some were other people. And although we still haven't met in person, I now have connected and developed a relationship with someone who knows what it is that I do. So sometimes you can just connect with people by watching conversations, just like you would at a networking event, jumping in, adding a comment, adding to a conversation. Let me think. Did I leave anything out? Keep in mind that while no one really wants never-ending sales pitches, it really is okay to talk about your product or service from time to time. In fact, there was one Facebook page I saw where everything was about animals, dogs in particular, but there was nothing there. I honestly did not know that this was a brick-and-mortar pet boutique store that also had an online store where I could have bought products. So you can use the 80-20 rule for sales messages, you know, for content versus sales. So if you're posting five times a week, one of those posts should be a sales message, and the other should be helpful or fun content for your community. So I know I have plenty more I could say here, but I'm going to check in and see, are there any questions, are there any comments, and just want to honor the time.
Muted. Unmuted.
Okay, I've reopened up the line.
So does anybody have any questions? CJ, did you have anything to add, or did you have a question? Did I leave something out?
No, I think you did a really, really great job with that, Donna. And I think in particular this aspect of building personal relationships with social media is what needs to be put into this social media mix. And the fact that just as I said, if you've got somebody in particular you want to be following up with, you might send them a note. Well, you can also drop into their... Okay, now we're still getting the line noise, so I'm going to put us back on mute. Sorry, guys.
Muted.
So you can also drop in on that person's Facebook page. You can drop in on that person's Twitter page, and you can see what they've been talking about recently and respond to it. So in order to do that, though, in order to use this personal touch marketing effectively, you need to be organized and systematic about it. So that's the last topic that I want us to talk about today. You need to know who you are contacting, when you're contacting them, and why. And what that means is that you should be using a contact management system, and it most likely needs to be separate from your broadcast email system. You know, your broadcast email system, whether you're using AWeber or MailChimp, or Constant Contact, or One Shopping Cart, whatever it is, it's for managing opt-in subscriptions to your e-zine, to your blog, and your special interest mailing list. A contact management system, on the other hand, is for managing people that you want to have contact with separately from or in addition to those lists. So the reason to do this and the reason why this is important is, for example, let's say that a prospect or one of your important networking contacts unsubscribes from your newsletter Well, you don't want to cross them off your follow-up list for personal contact, do you? In most cases, no, you don't. And if somebody's subscribed to your newsletter, does that automatically make them a candidate for personal touch marketing? Typically not. So the two ways of maintaining information about people, they're not interchangeable. It's a good idea to maintain a contact management system to keep track of individuals or people who are representatives of organizations who you want to follow up with by phone, by personal email, or those personal touches on social media where you want to be reminded, oh, yeah, I should drop in on Mary Jane on Facebook from time to time and see what's going on in her world. Then you're in control of your information, and you're not going to lose touch with somebody because they decide to unsubscribe to your list or they happen to delete their Facebook profile, let's say. So make it a habit to identify the people in your world who you think are worthy of personal follow-up and transfer that information into your contact management system. It doesn't need to be a sophisticated system. You just need their basic contact info, where and when you first made contact, what their prospect for, right? Are they a prospect for coaching? Are they a prospect for Get Clients Now? Are they a prospect for an in-house program? And when you last followed up with them. And then you can check in on an individual, like, when was I last in touch with Mark? Is it time to make contact with him again? Or on a whole category. List me everybody who I put in here as interested in attending a Get Clients Now program along with their phone numbers. And if your contact management system has a tickler feature, you can also set up next contact dates for people and have the system remind you. But even if it doesn't have that, it's easy enough to simply do that yourself by putting a reminder on your own calendar. So I think that by adding separate contact management for people who you think are worthy of personal contacts, in addition to whatever you might be using to keep track of people who are opt-in subscribers to some kind of online list, then you're going to have the best of both worlds and be able to add in those personal touches that are so valuable. So I know we've only got a few minutes left, but I want to check in real quick and see if anybody has anything to add to that topic. So I just left the setting on the one Donna pointed out before. It's the setting where you can now press *6 to unmute yourself if there's anything that you'd like to add to that or a question you'd like to ask about it. Hi, I heard somebody.
Oh, that was, sorry, it's William again from Vancouver Island. I didn't actually have a question based on what you said, but I just wanted to ask if after the teleconference, if you've got a minute, I've got something I wanted to run past you that doesn't have to do with today's.
Absolutely. I can stay on the line, William.
Okay.
Good. So let me announce our next teleforum. Thank you, everybody, for your participation here today, for being here with us. Thank you, Donna, for all of the great insights that you gave us about networking and social media and picking up the phone. So everybody, mark your calendars for the next teleforum. It's going to be another marketing topic. It will be Tuesday, January 29th, 2013, at this exact same time. So that's Tuesday, January 29th. Look forward to talking to you all then. And Donna, you can just disconnect, and that'll turn off the recording, and William and I can have our conversation. You're welcome to chime back in with a goodbye to everybody, too, if you like, Donna.
Unmuted.
Okay, I think I'm unmuted, so I can say goodbye.
You are.
Okay. So, goodbye, everyone. It was a great call. I don't know if you had anything left to add, CJ.
Nope, that's it. Glad everybody was here, and talk to you all again in January.
Okay, talk to you again soon. Bye-bye, everyone.